Good afternoon, and welcome to Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now open your Bibles, open your minds, and join in the conversation with your host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until 2 o'clock right here on AM 1220, The Word, this afternoon. Hope you'll be able to stick with us here this afternoon and share a couple of things with you. But we also have the opportunity today, no guests or anything. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call this afternoon. You can call 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. If you got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, love to hear from you today. But let's go ahead and open our program with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, I want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air today. Pray that you would bless the program this and use us for your glory this afternoon. Help us to be a blessing to somebody. Help us to be an encouragement to somebody. Help us to point people that are searching to Christ and encourage believers in their walk with you. And Lord, we just thank you again for the opportunity. Help us to lift up and glorify Christ, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Well, good to be with you this afternoon, and just a beautiful day. I think my car thermometer was in the 76 or something like that when I pulled into the parking lot here at the station. Didn't feel quite that warm, but it's just a beautiful day outside right now. And I have to say, I was talking with somebody on the way to the station and said, we'll have to pray for rain for tomorrow morning. And she was saying, and lightning too, because I heard Pastor Lutz in the last half hour talking about some of these places where they're trying to get signatures for the petitions to put on the ballot in November, the abortion amendment, which basically will take away parental rights and enshrine abortion on demand up until birth in the Ohio Constitution. And of course, once it's in there, it'll be awful hard to get it out of there. But they've got these places that they're set up, and Pastor Lutz was talking about some places out on the west side, I believe. But they're going to be trying to get signatures out in Euclid tomorrow morning. And he was talking about people opposing that, and certainly God's people ought to be opposing that, because this is a threat, and we've got to fight it. If we can keep it off the ballot in November, that's great. But if it gets on the ballot, certainly we need to turn out and force to vote against it. And the August 8th special election, though, looks like it is a go. Reason I say that is I got my assignment card in the mail yesterday in Summit County. I work the elections in Richfield Village, and I got my assignment card for the election, for the special election on August 8th. And if you are not familiar with what we're talking about here, this is what we've been talking about the move to change the procedure for amending the Ohio Constitution. Right now, the Ohio Constitution requires only a 50% plus one vote in order to alter the Ohio Constitution. That's all we got, all kinds of minutiae in the Constitution that it should not be there. It should be in other legislative areas, not in the Constitution, which is supposed to be the primary foundational documents governing our state. We use the other laws and things that are passed, the code of laws and stuff, to define other things, not the Constitution. Constitution literally has addresses of where gambling can take place. That's ridiculous. The pro-death crowd wants to put abortion on demand in the Constitution, amend the Constitution. Right now, they only need a 50% plus one vote. And out of 8.9 million estimated voters, that means that if they get half of those voters plus one, the percentage to change the Ohio Constitution would be 50.00001%. That's all they would need, 50.00001%, and they can change the Constitution in the state of Ohio. Now, the vote in August, on August the 8th, though, is an issue. This will be issue number one. And this issue will call for raising the standard of changing the Ohio Constitution to 60% and be more in line with most of the rest of the states and the federal government. Ohio is one of, I think, about seven states that has still got this ridiculously low percentage to change the Constitution. And even, sadly, there's some people on the right who are succumbing to propaganda that it's the people who are pushing this to raise the bar to change the Ohio Constitution 60% are actually trying to take away your vote. They're trying to take away your ability to be heard. They're trying to take away your ability to put forward proposals to change the Ohio Constitution, different things like that. And I was asked about that our Friday night Bible study, and I said, well, everything you're saying, I heard the Democrats back when they were giving their reasons why not to do it, and the Democrats were all pretty unified on this, and on social media, I had several union activists who were saying the same thing. So everything that's saying that it's taking away your vote, everything that's saying it's taking away your ability to go beyond what the legislature does when the legislature doesn't seem to respond, all that is coming from the left, and they're trying to scaremonger people into not doing this. This will raise this issue in August, will raise the bar, make the Constitution a little more difficult to change. Now, remember, we're not a democracy. People forget that. We're not a democracy. We are a republic, and a republic is governed differently than a democracy. Democracy amounts to mob rule, and I always remind people, democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for supper, and so the republic form of government, which is superior to a democracy, has things requiring supermajorities on votes. It has things designed to respect and protect minorities and many things that are missing in a democracy. Well, I'm not going to go into all that right now. I just wanted to mention that we'll be talking about this in the future, but do pray for the August 8th ballot issue number one, where we will be changing the way to amend the Ohio Constitution to require a 60% vote rather than something as ridiculously small as 50.00001%. And this is also going to be important when it comes to November if the abortion amendment makes it on the ballot, because the abortion people are confident that they can get 50.00001%. They don't think they can get 60%, which is why they're opposing it. So when somebody tells you that you shouldn't vote for the issue one in August, you may want to see if they're supporting the abortion amendment in November. Probably they are. And that's the reason the Democrats were livid in Columbus last week when they passed out of the House the bill, Senate Joint Resolution 2, which was like House Joint Resolution 1, to put on the August ballot issue number 1 to change the way the percentage from 50% plus 1 to 60%. Well, I didn't want to spend all that much time on that. Spent more time on that than I had planned to initially, because I had some other things I wanted to look at here today as well. But just a reminder, check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find out more about me, more about the program. You can also listen to past programs there if you don't stay up at night for our 10 o'clock until midnight program every Sunday night. I know a lot of people don't stay up that late, especially not past the 11 o'clock hour. But you can listen to those programs on livewithpastoral.com. You can also link from there to our home church, Richfield Bible Baptist Church. All that information will be coming at the end of the program as well. But I wanted to also mention something here today. Yesterday, May 18th was the anniversary of the Mount St. Helens volcano eruption. And if you remember that from, it was 1980, back in 1980. We had a major volcanic eruption, and this was Mount St. Helens in Washington State. And what would that be? That's, 43 years ago? I guess 43 years ago, I was a student at Colorado State University at the time, and I remember a couple of days afterwards, the ash from the eruption of Mount St. Helens drifted across northern Colorado, and there in Fort Collins, where the school is at, I went out in the parking lot, and I was able, with my finger, to write my name in the dust, the volcanic ash that was coating the windows, coating my car. So it was kind of interesting to do that. If I had a camera with me, I could have got a picture of that. But the dust traveled far and wide, but the explosion on Mount St. Helens was absolutely massive, and it had a lot of coverage because they knew it was going to happen. The volcano had been swelling. I remember in the classes that I had when I was in college, we were talking about it, and people were speculating if there was going to be a major eruption, and there's a swelling and everything on the side of the mountain. And finally, when this thing erupted, there was essentially about, it must have been about a half mile of cubic mile, I should say, about a half mile cubic mile of rock, literally was pulverized in moments by this thing. In fact, let me see here. I got a thing here. It says that as the summit and the north slope slid off the volcano that morning, pressure was released inside the volcano, where super hot liquid water immediately flashed to steam. So which gives you a steam explosion. It says the northward directed steam explosion released energy equivalent to 20 million tons of TNT, which toppled 150 square miles of forest in 6 minutes. I mean, this amount of devastation is mind-boggling. There was I believe it was a forest ranger station there, and I guess a guy was on the radio when this happened, and he just, I mean, obviously he was killed, but it just wiped out the station, cut off the radio, obviously, but 150 square miles of forest was wiped out in 6 minutes. This is like a small nuclear bomb going off. And in Spirit Lake, which is located north of the volcano, there was a wave of water that was initiated. They estimate an eighth cubic mile of rockside debris that ran down the slopes from about 850 feet above the water level coming in. And it caused this huge wave of water to sweep all these trees and things into Spirit Lake. And here's actually the total energy output I shouldn't have said a small nuclear bomb. Let me take a look here. According to the total energy output on May 18th in 1980, the release of energy was the equivalent of 400 million tons of TNT, which would be approximately 20,000 Hiroshima-sized atomic bombs going off in the mountain there. This thing was so devastating. The steam explosion and the rock slides and the waves of water and all of this, it just totally changed the landscape in the area there. In fact, within just a few hours, the landscape was changed. And within a few days and weeks later, we had some incredible geological features that were changed by this catastrophic event. And what happened was that a canyon system over 100 feet deep from the headwaters of the North Fork or the Total River it came through there, and it established this whole entire Canyon system, about a 1/40th scale model of the real Grand Canyon. And if you looked at this not knowing how long it took for this to develop, not knowing the event that took place, you would have thought that this took thousands and thousands of years to take place. But instead, it all happened in just hours, days, and weeks. And over 600 feet of strata formed in just a few months after this, the deposits from the air blast, the landslide, the waves, and some other mud flows and different things that came through. And it just created these incredible events. Spirit Lake was filled with trees that began floating, and they began the heavier bottoms where the roots were began going down into the water, making them settle upright into the mud, which settled around them. And if you go there now, you can actually find that these trees have petrified. If all that mud and dirt was to erode away that they're buried in, you would swear you had a petrified forest like down in New Mexico that's been there for thousands and thousands of years. And so why is this important? Why is this important to us as Christians? Well, you know, there's an event in the Bible, and it's called the flood, the global flood. And a lot of people cast doubt on the flood, and they try to say that it wasn't that big of a deal or it didn't happen at all. But the flood that's recorded in the Bible is attested to. Peter wrote about it in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, Peter said this, actually starting in verse 4, he said, "For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into the chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment," verse 5, "and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly." And then he goes on to talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, as well, and Lot. But here's Peter writing under inspiration of the Holy Spirit. In fact, in the Gospel of Matthew, we have Jesus himself saying this, starting in verse 37, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and knew not until the flood came and took them away, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." And so here's Jesus himself referring to the flood and Noah and the ark as something that actually happened. Now, there's a lot of people who try to say that, it was just a myth. It was just a myth. So let me ask you a question. Was Jesus lying there in Matthew when he referred to Noah and the flood and the ark? You can read that again, Matthew chapter 24, verse 37 through 39. He refers to Noah. He refers to the ark. He refers to the flood. Was Peter lying, or did the Spirit of God that inspired him in 2 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, did the Spirit of God lie to Peter? Was Peter lying? Was Peter just repeating a myth? Or is this something that actually happened? You know, when you go to into Genesis chapter 6, the Bible talks about this. And it says that God decided to destroy the earth because of the wickedness in those days. And it says here in, and I'm going to drop down to verse 11 for time's sake here. He says, and the earth was also was corrupt before God, and the earth was filled with violence. And God looked upon the earth, and behold, it was corrupt, for all flesh had corrupted his way upon the earth. And God said unto Noah, "The end of all flesh is come before me. The earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Make thee an ark of gopher wood." And he goes on to describe the size and the dimensions of the ark. And then he says in verse 17, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh, wherein is the breath of life from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die. But with thee will I establish my covenant, and thou shalt come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. And of every living thing of all flesh, two of every sort of sort shalt thou bring in the ark to keep them alive. They shall be male and female." And he goes on to describe what he's to bring into the ark and all. And God Noah follows God's commands, and he builds the ark. And the Bible says in chapter 7, in verse 1, "And the Lord said unto Noah, Come thou and all thy house into the ark, for thee have I seen righteous before me in this generation." And he urges him to go into the ark. Verse 4, he says, "For yet 7 days, and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. And every living substance that I have made will I destroy from off the face of the earth." And Noah did according to all that the Lord commanded him. And then it goes on to say in verse 11, "In the 600th year of Noah's life, in the second month, in the 17th day of the month, the same day were all the fountains of the great deep broken up, and the windows of heaven were open, and the rain was upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. In the selfsame day entered Noah and Shem and Ham and Japheth, the sons of Noah, and Noah's wife, and the three wives and his sons with them into the ark, they and every beast after his kind, and all the cattle after their kind, and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth after his kind, and every fowl after his kind, every bird of every sort. And they went into the ark, went in unto Noah into the ark, two and two of all flesh, wherein is the breath of life." And he goes on and talks about the flood coming and the ark being buried up on the flood. And finally, in chapter 8, the flood goes away, and Noah and his family come out of the ark, and they are instructed by God in chapter 9 to be fruitful and to multiply and to replenish the earth. And the earth had suffered this major catastrophic event, a global flood. I've heard some people say, "Well, it was just a regional flood." Well, if it was a regional flood, why didn't he instruct Noah and his family to make some wagons and take a caravan out of the region? And why did he make them float around for all this time in a little regional area? They might have bumped into somebody out fishing who would have said, "Well, what are you doing in that ark?" But pretty much every major culture in the world has a flood story where the world was destroyed by flood. Interestingly, I've said it before on the radio here, that the study of genetics has shown that all of us are the descendant of one woman. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 3, I believe it is, that Eve was the mother of all living. And when we look at that, that makes sense. They call her mitochondrial Eve, the one woman that they believe we're all descended from. And interestingly enough, we're all descended from one or more of three women who are descended from that one woman. And here in the story that God gives us of Noah and his family going into the ark, there's Noah's three sons and their three wives. And when you read in chapter 10 of Genesis, you find out that everybody that repopulated the world was the children of one of those three women. And so everybody living today, according to the Bible, the descendant of one or more of those three women, the wives of Noah's sons, who in turn were the descendants of one woman, and that was Eve. Well, guess what? Genetics says the same thing. And the Bottleneck Institute for Creation Research has done some investigation into this and shown that right about the time that Noah's flood took place is when this genetic bottleneck took place. And guess what? If Mount St. Helens erupting can devastate the area that it's located in and change the topography and cause a canyon system to develop practically overnight and a petrified forest to occur, what do you think a global flood can do? Maybe that could be the result of it, or the cause of a Grand Canyon and the giant fossil fields and things that we see and petrified forests and all these rumors of a flood in every culture practically. Makes you want to think, doesn't it? Well, God said, as in the days of Noah, is what it would be like when the Lord comes back the second time. And guess what? We live in days filled with violence and wickedness, don't we? Lord's coming back. I hope you're ready. Put your faith in Christ. Trust Christ today. If you are saved, serve Him and be a witness testimony for Him. Thanks for listening. God bless.
You've been listening to Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. You can also listen to past programs at livewithpastoral.com, read articles on a variety of topics by Pastor Al at livewithpastoral.com. Pastor Al Davis invites you to join him at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio, Sunday morning at 11 or Sunday evening at 6. Or you can join us for our Friday night Bible study tonight from 7 to 9 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church meets at 4174 Wheatley Road, Suite 200 in Richfield every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and then every Friday at 7. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis at Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Or you can email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoel.us. Join us for more live conversation this Sunday night from 10 to midnight. And again, next Friday afternoon from 1:30 to 2, right here on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.